Neither had the book bomb sent to the organisers of an Orthodox Jewish Congress in Antwerp, which blew up the honorary secretary and burnt her assistant to death. Neither had the dustbin bomb outside an Israeli bank in Zurich, which maimed two passers-by. Only the Stockholm bomb had a warning, and that turned out to be a completely different group, not part of the series at all. At 8:25, the Drosselstrasse in Bad Godesberg had been just another leafy diplomatic backwater, about as far from the political turmoils of Bonn as you could reasonably get, while staying within 15 minutes' drive of them. It was a new street, but mature, with lush secretive gardens and maids' quarters over the garages, and Gothic security grills over the bottled glass windows. The Rhineland weather for most of the year has the warm, wet drip of the jungle. Its vegetation, like its diplomatic community, grows almost as fast as the Germans build their roads, and slightly faster than they make their maps. Thus, the fronts of some of the houses were already half obscured by dense plantations of conifers, which, if they ever grow to proper size, will presumably one day plunge the whole area into a Grimm's fairy tale blackout. These trees turned out to be remarkably effective against blast, and within days of the explosion, one local garden centre had made them a speciality. Several of the houses wear a patently nationalistic look. The Norwegian ambassador's residence, for example, just around the corner from the Drosselstrasse, is an austere, red-bricked farmhouse, lifted straight from the stockbroker hinterlands of Oslo. The Egyptian consulate, up the other end, has the forlorn air of an Alexandrian villa, fallen on hard times. Mournful Arab music issues from it, and its windows are permanently shuttered against the skirmishing North African heat. The season was mid-May, and the day had started glorious, with blossom and new leaves rocking together in the light breeze. The magnolia trees were just finished, and their sad white petals, mostly shed, afterwards became a feature of the debris. With so much greenery, the bustle of the commuter traffic from the trunk road barely penetrated. The most audible sound, until the explosion, was the clamour of birds, including several plump doves that had taken a liking to the Australian military attaché's mauve wisteria, his pride. A kilometre southward, unseen Rhine barges provided a throbbing, stately hum. But the residents grow deaf to it unless it stops. In short, it was a morning to assure you that whatever calamities you might be reading about in West Germany's earnest, rather panicky newspapers, depression, inflation, insolvency, unemployment, all the usual and apparently incurable ailments of a massively prosperous capitalist economy, Bad Godesberg was a settled, decent place to be alive in, and Bonn was not half as bad as it is painted. Depending on nationality and rank, some husbands had already left for work, but diplomats are nothing if not clichés of their kind. A melancholy Scandinavian counsellor, for example, was still in bed, suffering from a hangover brought on by marital stress. A South American chargé, clad in a hairnet and a Chinese silk dressing gown, the prize of a tour in Peking, was leaning out of the window giving shopping instructions to his Filipino chauffeur. The Italian counsellor was shaving, but naked. He liked to shave after his bath, but before his daily exercises. His wife, fully clothed, was already downstairs, remonstrating with an unrepentant daughter for returning home late the night before, a dialogue they enjoyed most mornings of the week. An envoy from the Ivory Coast was speaking on the international telephone, advising his masters of his latest efforts to wring development aid out of an increasingly reluctant German exchequer. When the line went dead, they thought he had hung up on them and sent him an acid telegram, inquiring whether he wished to resign. The Israeli labor attaché had left more than an hour ago. He was not at ease in Bonn, and as best he could, he liked to work Jerusalem hours. So it went, with a lot of rather cheap ethnic jokes, finding a basis in reality and death. Somewhere in every bomb explosion, there is a miracle, and in this case, it was supplied by the American school bus, which had just come and gone again with most of the community's younger children, who congregated every school day in the turning circle, not 50 meters from the epicenter. By a mercy, none of the children had forgotten his homework. None had overslept, or shown resistance to education on this Monday morning, so the bus got away on time. The rear window shattered. The driver went sidewinding into the verge. A French girl lost an eye, but essentially the children escaped scot-free, which was afterwards held to be